Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
He is a freelance journalist who's covering the election there. He has covered Brexit. He's written for the Wall Street Journal and lots of other publications. Mark, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you very much. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Dean. Thanks very much for having me on your show.
Kind of give us a lay of the land right now in France. Is it about 6 o'clock there right now? Just going on 6 o'clock.
That's right. We're coming up to about 6:15. As you say, I'm speaking to you live from Bordeaux, where voting is still continuing and will conclude in about an hour's time, with the first exit polls expected shortly after 8 p.m. here.
Is there any
voting began?
Is there any sense of how things have gone today? If not specifically about preferences of the French people, as we were just talking about, turnout of voters?
Turnout has been remarkably impressive. So the latest figures released by the French Interior Ministry at 5 p.m. local time here show that turnout compared with 2012 is only slightly down, just by 1 point. So the turnout has remained very impressive, certainly compared with turnouts with other European countries, the UK, for example. After a year of surprises in Western politics, obviously beginning with Brexit last year on June 23rd, and then subsequently Donald Trump's election, I hope you forgive me for making no predictions about which candidates might emerge as the front runners in the runoff. But I can tell you that this election really does matter for France, for EU, and indeed the future of direction of Western politics more generally, certainly in light of the recent events that I've just mentioned.
Yeah, well, were they expecting a higher turnout than what they had in 2012, given the violence that's taken place in France recently?
No, I think I'm not sure that violence would have had a direct influence upon turnout. Certainly, turnout is something to be considered based on the fact that I think the same with France as it is with other countries which have held recent elections, there is certainly a growing sense of pessimism about politicians, a distrust of the establishment. And it's this voter apathy which we believe would have led to any kind of small turnout. But certainly from the information that we've had today, the latest figures from the Interior Ministry would show that the French people have recognized just how important these elections are. If I can just pick up, Dean, very quickly on the other thing you mentioned there, the fact that there has, as you say, been recent violence in France. This has undoubtedly put the issue of terrorism uppermost in people's minds when they've been voted, when they've been voting. Certainly, it framed the immediate context of these elections because the latest attack, which saw one policeman killed and another injured with what the eyewitnesses described as a Kalashnikov type assault rifle in Paris on Thursday of last week, will have brought home to many people the fact that certainly the French establishment is still struggling with the blowback of hundreds of its citizens returning from fighting in Syria.
Yeah, well, that's why I wondered if they had expected more turnout because of the violence that took place on the Champs-Élysées last week, and that one of the front runners in this race, Marine Le Pen, has been I don't know if anti-immigrant is the correct phrase to use, but has been running on a platform of cracking down, a very Donald Trump-like approach to cracking down on keeping France safe.
That's absolutely right. You're right to pick up on the issue there. So rising concerns about terrorism have played neatly into the hands of Marine Le Pen's far-right Front National Party, which has made, as you say, immigration the biggest issue on the doorstep. Why this chimes, I guess, so keenly with some sections of the French electorate, but actually becomes clearer and is slightly more nuanced when you look at the economic background. France has very high youth unemployment, where around a quarter of those under 25 are without a job. It also has a struggling manufacturing sector, which, you know, according to figures unearthed by Financial Times and others this week, now employs something like 2 million people, which is less than half the number it did in the 1970s. So here, I think, the parallels with the Trump campaign become clearer. Donald Trump made the return of manufacturing to the US a key component of his campaign, but he also tapped into a well of discontent represented by those who had been left behind by globalization, particularly in the Rust Belt in the US. And here you see a mirroring of the issues which Marine Le Pen has sought to stimulate her voter base with.
What I've been reading here in the U.S. is that this will probably be a race in the runoff of Marine Le Pen and Emmanuel Macron, who is a centrist in the campaign there. Is that what you're sensing there as well?
That's certainly what the previous polls, the earlier polls, have indicated. As we said earlier, we are waiting on the exit polls, which are due here local time around 8 p.m. Macron is something of a hugely interesting character based on the fact that he was the former economics minister under President Hollande. President Hollande is, of course, the outgoing president who, in, I guess, with a break from certain contemporary French modern politics, as I understand it, is actually the first president not to seek re-election, which is an interesting point there. Macron has actually created his party, En Marche, from scratch, from a kind of centrist-left viewpoint where he is economically and socially liberal. So he has mounted a strong defense of free trade, which is in direct contrast to Marine Le Pen, who, again, like Donald Trump, has highlighted the negative effects of free trade upon citizens who haven't necessarily seen the benefits of immigration or globalization trickle down to, well, parts of the economy which don't necessarily center themselves upon the most vibrant cities in Paris or elsewhere, the more cosmopolitan areas of France. Macron is something of a hope for pro-Europeans across Europe when we view this through the prism of Brexit, based on the fact that he is staunchly European, pro-European, and he would seek to strengthen France, strengthen France's role as one of the founder members of the EU. Now, this is in direct contrast to Marine Le Pen, who has said that she would seek to remove France from the Eurozone, which is the group of countries within Europe which uses the same currency, and also potentially hold a referendum, like the UK did, on whether or not there should be, France should remain a member of the European Union. Now, the European Union is already reeling from the effect of Britain's vote last June, on June 23rd, to leave the EU. And we saw the triggering of Article 50 earlier this year in March. And we are now in this process whereby the UK has to negotiate with the EU in order to understand what its trading relationship is going to look at afterwards. That process has been further complicated by the calling of the election by Prime Minister Theresa May, which will now take place on June 8th in the UK. What the EU will be hoping for is that they do so with somebody like Macron rather than Le Pen having been voted as France's next president, because I think there is a very real concern that if Le Pen does prove successful, if she goes through to the second round, let's understand the process here for a second. We've got the first round today. If there is no majority, there will be two candidates that will go forward to a second round runoff, which will take place on May 7th. I think you mentioned it in your preamble to our conversation. And it is at that stage that you would have the candidate who would emerge then as president. If it is Macron, this would signal a good thing for the European Union based on the fact that it would give them a strong foundation on which to then go ahead and continue the negotiations with the United Kingdom. However, if Le Pen emerges as the dominant candidate on May the 7th, if she reaches the second round runoff, of course, then I think there would be some very real questions about the viability of the EU based on the fact that she has previously said that she would take a very much more protectionist role, as Donald Trump did when he became president in the U.S.
Would there be any effect on the U.S. with one candidate over another?
I think that quite clearly, Donald Trump has been taking an interest in the French election. He tweeted in the aftermath of the latest terrorist attack on Thursday that this would inevitably colour people's voting as they went to the polls today, Sunday the 23rd. And he's tweeted this afternoon saying that France is currently having a very interesting election. Now, obviously, it would be diplomatically tricky if he were to favour one candidate over another. I think some liberal observers are concerned that he would, in fact, perhaps favour a Le Pen outcome based on the fact that her style of politics, her very anti-establishment, sort of pro-populist style of politics would chime very neatly with his. But I think he's got to be quite careful not to show his preference, because obviously that would be contravening diplomatic norms. But I think that something which certainly the Trump presidency and those around him should consider is that having a strong and stable EU is something which is going to help the US to negotiate the very, very tricky diplomacy which we have at present, if you look globally, rather than a European Union, which in the event of a Le Pen ascendancy to the presidency could perhaps turn inwards on itself while it tries to reconcile precisely what is going on with its more populist politics, if indeed that outcome were to occur and Le Pen were to become president.
Well,
because she went through today. Yeah.
We should know more in an hour or so as exit polls are released, as the polls close at 7 p.m. In France, which is about 35 minutes away from now. So we'll, I'm sure, be getting more information on that. Mark, I really appreciate you joining us and spending some time. I'm sure it's going to be a very busy day for you today. So,
not at all. Thank you very much, Dean. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure to talk with you, Mark Mistry, who is a freelance journalist covering the presidential election in France, the writer with the Wall Street Journal, The Independent, many other organizations, live from Bordeaux, France this morning.